Well, perhaps appropriately, the title for this morning's sermon is this: Birthdays. Birthdays. Well, my first heading to go with this title runs as follows: His date of birth. His date of birth. And who do I mean by this? Well, it's Jesus Christ, of course. His date of birth. Well, of course, we have to remind ourselves, don't we, that while here we are, December the 25th, Christmas Day, celebrating especially the birth of Christ, we're not absolutely certain the day on which he was born. It's not recorded in Scripture. No place there do we find the exact day given to us when he was born. And those who know more about that part of the world than I do would say that actually it's perhaps more likely it was maybe in October when he was born, or somewhere there in the autumn when the flocks would have been out in the fields. But then others would say, well, this tradition was an early tradition, and though it is something of a takeover of a pagan festival that made December the 25th the day that we recognise, or try symbolically to recognise as the day of his birth, it might have been on that day. Who is to say? Because there's the fact. We don't actually know the exact day. Maybe in a sense we were not meant to know it, so that we didn't get so carried away, and all of the various extras that seem to have crowded in should not take over from this. So, yes, his date of birth, well, we don't actually know it with absolute certainty. But one thing we do know with absolute certainty is this: that he was born, that there was a day, whatever it was, whether it was earlier in the year, in the autumn, whether it was now, he was born. There was that day when all of those events of which we read in the Bible most certainly took place. Those who were eyewitnesses would have been able to say, yes, we're glad our words, if you will, are here in the Bible because they're true words. We were there. We saw him. We saw that babe in the manger. And Mary, of course, would have been able to say with intimate knowledge, yes, it was. There was a day when he was most certainly born. And I gave birth to this precious child, this child that was promised in Isaiah chapter 9. And that's incredible. Well, there are lots of things that are incredible about the Lord Jesus Christ, but here's one to dwell upon, isn't it, today? That is incredible that we should be even recognizing his birthday, his coming into the world as a babe. For truly, what we know about God seems to contradict everything that could be true of a baby. God has no need of a body. He is spirit. He does not share with us in these lowly attributes. He does not, as we do, grow weary in our body or need to replenish it with the good food perhaps we're looking forward to eating and enjoying later today. No, not at all. He is self-sufficient, we would say. He does not need to get energy from somewhere or find the best energy supply or something to keep the universe going in this way. He does not need to search out advice of a financial advisor to give some counsel about what we should do with the economies of the world, or get some philosophers there as to how to think through clearly these things. Oh, he has and possesses all of this, all within himself, all instantly there, none of it needing kind of deliberation like this. He's not limited in this way as we are. He does not share with our form, heads and arms and hands and feet and such things as this. But now he does, in his Son. This which seems incredible, impossible. The infinite God who fills everything in every way, who has laid out the heavens and is present in every part of this universe and beyond. Surely he can't also be man, can he? Such a high and majestic figure. Yes, he can and does. This is what the writers of Scripture most solemnly report, and this is what those who prophesied these events reported hundreds of years before the event. We should lose none of the wonder of this. None of the wonder of this. We do, we're so familiar with it. We who've been Christians many years, oh yes, we know these things. Yes, we know that's what God is like. Yes, we know that man is small by comparison. And yet there it is, incredible and amazing, that now the Son of God, whom we call the second person of the Trinity, is now man as well. He has surrendered none of his divinity. This makes us wonder. You mean he's still infinite? Yes. You mean he's still all wise and all known? Yes. Do you mean he's present everywhere? Yes. He's all that as well. He's remained God, because otherwise he wouldn't be God if he could lose his godlike nature. But now he is most gloriously part of the human race as well. He has joined with us in his body, standing with us as he stood then, flesh and blood. Of course, there was the great exception that marked him out as a different kind of man to us in that he had no sin, so that there was nothing in him that would take away from the glory of God. There was nothing in him that would deviate away from the perfect standards of God, because he's God. And the man that was born of Mary, the God-man, was born perfect and without sin, and without the capacity there, if you will, of sin. Well, he could be tempted, yes, pressured and afflicted, could go through trials, most certainly, great anguish and great sorrow of soul. Yes, he had the gamut of emotions that we have, and he also there was most particularly singled out by the devil for attention. And all those things he knew, greater measure than we ever know in our trials and temptations, but without sin. And so we have to say, yes, there are so many things that were really, really true about him. That it was a real conception that the Lord used there, egg from Mary. I'm getting into the biology here, but we'll not linger there for long. But all that was provided of God eliminated the need for Joseph's input, if you will, as a man. Extraordinary. But it was a real conception. Mary's pregnancy was a real pregnancy, so that there was growing within her. Had they have had all the ultrasounds and all the things that they could have done then, rub that jelly, don't they, and there it goes, they would have found growing there a child, a youngster. There would have been a life. They could have had a photograph there, and there, see, it's a boy, you've got a boy, and the due date is whatever it would be, December 25th, or wherever we are. There we are, they'd say, got a boy growing, wonderful. Yes, real pregnancy, really happening, real development, real growth in all those extraordinary ways there that really should send the atheists and the evolutionists hiding for cover. Because, oh, this is a wonderful thing. What a gift. What an event. And now the birth takes place. All of the wonder of that. And I guess something of the pain of that to Mary. Yet, yes, real living baby born there. Well, there'll be mothers today, weren't there, on Christmas Day? And I expect if we look on the television later on, if we do, then there'll be some story there about some mum somewhere giving birth on Christmas Day. Real, real birth. So was Christ's. And though we do not have a recorded picture of him, though there was not a sort of family gathering with cameras and everything there to record this event, would have really had an appearance. We don't know what and how exactly, but he would have had a real appearance. And so would the child that grew, that toddler, infant, became then that junior age child, matured then, grew up, real life, real humanity, real appearance. We're not, I guess, meant to dwell upon his appearance and not meant to sort of figure that for ourselves there. Some people differ on this, but we don't go for the drawings and pictures of Jesus there. We understand those who do, but well, no, we will avoid that. It's not given to us to know these things. And there's the great God. This is the God-man. And how can we really understand and capture his gestures, which would have been so perfect and pure and wise. We just can't do that. So there it is. But nevertheless, he would have had an appearance. He wasn't a sort of ghostly figure. Those who knew him and recorded it here in Scripture most certainly affirm. We handled the word of life. We were there with him. We saw, we heard these great things that he said, and he really was with us there. Of course, the Bible is all for reality. It is all for us being sure of the facts. It is not some poor bit of literature there which doesn't really have the intelligence or the wit to go about sort of evidence-basing things. No, far from it. Well, we know Luke, for instance, in the beginning of that great reading there in Luke chapter 2. Well, Luke tells us there without any shadow of doubt that he was well aware of history, and he records it for us, doesn't he? And it came to pass, he said, in those days. Which days are those then, Luke? Well, these days. That a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And then, in case we've missed the sort of historical background and context to these real events, he tells us, this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And we find Luke at other occasions as well, giving to us their detail after detail, names of rulers in different parts of the country, and when they came back there from Egypt, he records again for us. Names, people. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene. Well, that's real. That's real history. Real people in real places at real times. And it's as if there God intended for us with Luke's detail and attention to detail just pounding in upon us to show us we're talking about real people, real events, real happenings in real places. So, dear friend, today, do you want to dispute these events? Do you want to say there was no birthday of his to even mark or recognize? I'm not going to stand in this way of looking on the Bible as a book with historical fact. Well, I'm afraid you'll find detail after detail would argue with you and would clamour for your attention and say, read this. Here is the certainty of these things. Read this. Here are the names of emperors and other historical figures surrounding the birth and the growing up of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear these things and believe them. So, my first heading done with. His date of birth. Not absolutely certain, but we're certain of this. There was a day, a real life, a real person who was born. Now, secondly, my second heading, we move slightly sideways. Our date of birth. Our date of birth. Now, that's not a day we quickly forget, is it, if we're younger friends here? And the approach of birthdays there causes a bit of quickening of the pulse in various households and expectations. Not many children, I'm sure, are unfamiliar or unsure about their date of birth over the age of, what shall we say, 5 and above. No, that's a day that we know all about, and our parents know all about as well. We remember our date of birth when we were there, perhaps, as dads at the birth of our children, and mums most certainly were there, of course, at the birth of their children. Yes, we know dates of birth. And when we phone up banks and building societies, energy companies and that, and they put us through all the hoops of these security checks, we often forced us who are grown-ups and adults to sadly and painfully repeat the date of our birth there to prove our identity. And as the years go on, that becomes more of a painful experience yet. There it is, the date of birth. Often our security checks there and our PIN numbers have got our dates of birth somewhere jumbled up within them for ease of recollection. So, here we are, real flesh and blood, born in particular places at particular times. We have a date of birth. We had, when we were babies there, a particular appearance, and our family albums there have the pictures maybe, those and us growing up and various key events, first day at school or whatever it might be. things that we did, happenings, birthday parties, pictures of us. There it is. You see, we had a date of birth, and there's our lifeline, and there the things we did, and big events along the way. We're real people, you see, aren't we just? We're real people. What quite extraordinary things we are at that. And again, the atheists and macroevolutionists should be running for cover. How do we explain the people that we are? All the intricacy, all the brain power and abilities that God has given to us. Different appearances, different skill mixes and talents there. I even amazed myself there by being able to set up some technological wizardry yesterday. Well, look at that. That's a new one and a first one for me. Others of us, though, these things we take happily and easily in our stride there. Other things that we've got the mastery of. Extraordinary people in that way. And yet, oh, dear friends, is it not also the case, and we have to think a little less charitably of ourselves here, even on Christmas Day. Oh, yes, we come into this world with particular sins as well. Particular gifts, particular abilities, but all the ability to commit particular sins. Things that are life-dominating happenings there. Oh, hatreds and bitternesses and lazinesses and covetousnesses. Lust and anger, self-pity, well, the whole list of things there. Different things in different ways, mixes of these particular sins there, that are features of our life. Some are given to lying, some given to a little stealing, cutting corners ethically there with money and such things as this. And we can battle these things all our lives. And some there in their old age actually become more acute in those things. Those particular tendencies which were there at birth and travelled through with them. You could recognise them in their childhood. You could see it in their adolescence. You could recognise these things more in their 20s. And there on their deathbeds, still those same things that they brought with them from their date of birth. And what underlies that? Well, if there are sins, dear friends, underlying it is sin. The fact of sin. The fact that our nature, our whole being, mind, will, emotion, is infested with sin. Broken up all of this sin, this unwillingness to submit to God's law, this rebellion, this basic fundamental nature of ours, touching everything. Manifesting itself, yes, in a special sins and particular sins, but all of it a feature of that underlying fact. Oh, what a sad thing it is to report. And it affects us there in a most general way, and it makes us very unwilling to worship God. In fact, it makes us incapable of worshiping God. We will not honour him. We cannot love him. It there forms a great gulf between us and him. It makes him seem so irrelevant to us and unremarkable to us and destroys his nature and being and character. Oh, sin is a grievous thing. Really, it completely disarms us from any ability to appreciate this day, Christmas Day. And it defeats indeed the whole object there of Christ's coming. We'll not understand it and will not respond in love to him. Oh, anything but it will say. Rather, let us love ourselves, be lost in our own desires, not only on Christmas Day, but every day. What a sad fact it is. And it makes us excuse our sin, belittle it, and, as it were, pardon ourselves and say, oh, these are small matters here. And so we go through life, we can. We even get to our deathbed, many of us do. And we're still excusing ourselves, and we're still justifying ourselves. And we're still, whether we admit it or not, giving full vent to that underlying nature of ours, that sin that is in our hearts from our birth, right through, from our very conception to the moment we draw our last breath upon this earth. Yes, our date of birth I have to record. Beautiful, bonny babies we might have been, yes, but we were born sinners. We were born as sinners. Those who could not but sin, however unique we were, however beautiful, however talented, still we are sinners, born as such, and as such we will remain, unless something happens to us. So I come to my third heading. The need for another date of birth. The need for another date of birth. Look in John chapter 1. But as many, we read in verse 12, as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now we're not talking here about Jesus Christ. We're talking here about people like us. We're talking about people who have the date of birth that I was just speaking about a moment ago, yes, who most certainly there were born of blood, yes, we're flesh and blood, that birth we count for. The will of the flesh, well, these things there, yes, the will of man, we're somewhere within that, yes, we may be such people, but it tells us here that we can be born of God. That we can have a date of birth that is different from that which brings us first into the world and which is granted to us supernaturally by God. And that we become, by that virtue of this, a children of God. Those who believe in his name. Indeed, we have got the right to become children of God. Something very remarkable and very fundamental and very much life-changing that can happen to each and any one of us. What is this then? Well, it's not just that the queen there is a famous person, can have two birthdays, her actual birthday and her official birthday. This is different. This is an event that if it happens to us, if we are born of God, it is the biggest day in our lives. Bigger than our birthday when we first came into the world, born of blood, bigger than any other huge happening in our lives, getting married, lovely though that is, bigger than, we're watching MasterChef the other week, and the winner of that, oh, the biggest event in my life, in words to that effect, he said, well, it was, and a worthy champion he was as well, but no, it's bigger than that. This is the greatest change that can happen to a human being. The greatest impact, change, transformation that can happen to any one of us, young, not so young, alike. Oh, this is where we change course. Where once we're heading in that direction, and now, as a result of being born of God, we're heading in this direction. Where once we were servants of sin, in shackles and bound, where we had complete disinclination, disrespect, misunderstanding of God and his great purposes, his great works, and the sending of his Son, and then instead are given a new mind, new eyes, new perception, able to see things that we'd never seen before, able to admire Christ in a way that never before we could. We might have sung the Christmas carols hundreds of times, but now we sing them differently. And their words spring off the page to us in a fresh way. And we're nodding in our hearts in agreement, saying, I know that. And I've discovered that. And I know he gives a second birth, born to raise the sons of earth. He's raised me, given me a new birth. What a whole new way it is. And of us, there is now a whole new set of data recorded about us. Whereas before, oh, I had to tell you, didn't I, about those particular sins and sin underlying it, and of that rebellion and all the awfulness that stems from that, and our disregard and disbelief in God's authority, that he's a judge. That all is erased by this new birth, this new birthday that we can have. That's changed. And now instead, a whole new set of data come up. Oh, the National Health Service, isn't it? All this data they've got on us. There's our date of birth at the top and all the things we've caught and had and things they've taken out of us and put into us, whatever, they're listed them there. Dear friends, this says of us, in Christ Jesus, saved, now pardoned, this man, this woman, date of new birth when they were born of God, going now to heaven, destined for glory, having great prospects, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the record goes on. And all of those wonderful things that have happened are as a result of Jesus Christ, the one whose birthday we think about today. Extraordinary event. God who became man. Yes, it's all through him that these wonderful things can happen to us and that we can be transformed and our lives turned around and a whole new sort of data record there brought up for our sake. What a change. And it's a result of some wonderful discoveries. They're quite painful discoveries, but they're wonderful discoveries. Let me explain why. You know, you open parcels Christmas Day, off comes the wrapping paper, and, there's something you weren't really looking forward to finding inside. Oh, okay, that's nice, I guess. And you put it to one side, there it is. We, when we are unwrapped, find out what we really are inside. As I've already described, it's a disappointing experience. We find sin. We find the fundamental thing about us isn't this talent, this gift, this appearance or whatever there. It's that we're sinners and that we are separated from God. We open the parcel. Oh, that's what I am. That's what I am. It's quite crushing. It is quite, in many ways, disappointing to ourselves. We had great thoughts about ourselves and maybe in religious terms thought, well, God's pleased with me and I'm on track with him and we're fine there. No. You open the parcel, open your heart, you unwrap it. No. It's telling me the opposite. It tells me that God is angry with me. It's telling me that I'm under his wrath. It's telling me I'm going to be judged. It's telling me I'm destined for hell. This is not what I wanted to find. Oh, but dear friend, if you've discovered that, you've discovered something most wonderful. Because now your pride is being shaken. The most unshakable thing, if you will, it's being shaken. And now your unbelief, which was disinclined to believe anything about God, that's being shaken now. And God is working. For these things are only known by the Spirit, truly. Conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit. And as we see our wickedness and our sin and our desert really only of judgment and God's condemnation for our moral and spiritual failure, we're able also to see why Christ came. Why God had to send his son in the flesh. Why God needed to do this if we were to be brought to him and related to him. If we were ever to have a new standing with him and it be called us that they are children of God, sons of God, born of me, going to heaven. Only through Jesus Christ could that happen. Only if God gave his son to be born of the virgin, to live under the law, come through the maturity of those years, those trials and temptations, to display his divinity by stilling seas and calling winds to obey him and bringing the dead back to life and curing the lepers and taking those who are blind and putting salve on their eyes so they could see and speaking to the deaf that now could hear. Only by his coming could we be rescued and saved. For we, as condemned sinners, under God's wrath, owing to God that which we cannot pay, and forfeiting our lives because of the debt of our sin to him, it needed one who is perfect to lay down his life for us, as a substitute, as one who, as a human now, can represent humankind, but as God can bring all of his wonderful perfection and glory to bear upon that sacrifice and offer there himself in place of sinners under their condemnation of whom God says worthy of death. The death becomes the Son's death. Because he's in the flesh, truly there, the extraordinary thing, the Son of God can die and become there for us sin, and become the curse for us, that all that we are could be settled and paid for. I gather that Comet, that chain that sells us washing machines and televisions and all these sorts of things, got into financial problems. Big, big debts. And they're up for sale. £2. £2, somebody could come. I don't know whether somebody has, but they can buy Comet. But of course, at the same time, they have to buy up all their debts with it. Sounded like a good deal, £2, until you knew all the debts that there were. Well, Christ comes and offers himself infinitely more than £2, and he takes all of our debts, all of our wicked ways and all our works and all our disobedience against him, and he buys it up and he takes it in himself there when he dies upon the cross, and in his flesh he pays that price for our deliverance, pays the price for that which will then open up for us heaven, bring us to God, give to us hearts of praise, make us joyful, make us to rejoice at the thought of God rather than think, oh, at the thought of God. Dear friend, has this new birth happened to you yet? Have you made discoveries like these as yet? Or is it still out there, still a foreign language I'm talking to you? Oh, then you come to this great God. You plead with him, for the new birth will result in repentance and faith. It will bring you to see things differently, see your heart differently, see your wretchedness, see your need, bring you to see Christ differently, and to be moved to believe in him, and to give yourself to him, and say, I trust him. I trust him with my life. I trust him for that judgment day. I trust him to deal with my sin. I trust him to answer for me before his Father, and say that though I'm a sinner, I have been saved. You see him differently. Have you seen him like that yet? Has he stirred you, moved you, thrilled you, excited you? Have you as yet known of these things? That's what happens when this other birthday is a reality. This is what you begin to see and feel and know and understand when you've experienced the second birthday, where not of your own effort, this isn't the will of man. This is not something that comes from your family line, born into this kind of thing. This is when God's at work upon your heart. God is showing you great things. God is revealing to you that way to come to him. New power, new dispositions, new life, new hope, new everything. Oh, dear friend, here is the birthday of Christ that we think of today. Yes. There is our birthday to think of, yes, or which brings sin into the world, what we are. But look, look at this second birth. Look at what he can do, born of God. Oh, have you found that birthday yet? Is that also to be written about you? Yes, you had this birthday as a babe when you came into the world, but look, as a young person, as a child, not so young person, I was also born of God. Now I belong to him, and I am his child now. Think of that, oh, think of that this Christmas and rejoice. If as yet you know him not, again I urge you, forsake all, leave behind any other thought of being saved by any other way, any other person, any other means. Oh, it's mercy you need, for mercy plead. And so, may God bless you, your families, this Christmas. May he bless us with greater understanding still, if we are believers. May he bless you with that first understanding, that new birth, if as yet you're not converted, that you may be able to say, that second birthday is mine. I'm born again as well. I have been born of God. May that be the experience of us all. Amen.